I forgot to mention that, like, pretty much the day that you got released from your calling, I was called to your same calling, but just in a ward, not in the whole world.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. So I'm the second counselor in Relief Society in my ward. And I've been in, like, the presidency before, and this is the first time that I didn't cry when I got called. Welcome to the Consecrating Your Life podcast, hosted by me, Elena Aburto, and my mom, Reina Aburto. On today's episode, we talk about unity between different church organizations. Some of the examples included in this episode are unity between the Young Women and the Relief Society, or between Elders Quorum and Relief Society, etc. We hope that this episode inspires you to be more inclined to work together with other organizations, instead of only seeing these different organizations as being completely separate. Church has the same purpose, which is to bring people to Jesus Christ. Okay, so we wanted to talk about unity today, just because you and I both felt that there shouldn't be territories between different church organizations. So just an example of that would be like a young woman turning 18 and going to Relief Society. Sometimes that transition can feel really hard. And so we just want to ask questions like, how can that transition be better? How can the Young Women and Relief Society be more united? And how can all the other organizations be more united? So that's kind of what we're basing this off of today.
Yes, and I think it's a great question to ask, because the Lord told us to be one. Mm-hmm. He said, be one, and if you are not one, you are not mine. And I often ask myself that question, what does it mean to be one? You know, and this applies, I think, to different aspects of our lives. You know, it could apply to a marriage, it could apply to a family, it could apply to a word, and it can also apply to the church as a whole, mm-hmm. that we need to be one. But regarding organizations and what you just said about the young women, I wonder if we can just keep asking those questions that you asked and just keep doing things. Like if you are a Relief Society leader and you are a young women leader, to probably keep asking, what can we do so the girls don't see the two organizations like two different kingdoms, two different mm-hmm. territories, you know, because it's really the Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. We are all trying to come together to Christ so we can receive of his healing, of his light, of his truth, and we can make covenants with God through him. So I guess I would probably invite our listeners to keep asking those questions. What can we do?
Yeah, I think it needs to be a continual question. Like, we need to continually seek revelation for that. And I really liked the story that you told me when you went to Ireland. What happened there?
Yes, I went to Ireland, you know, as a leader. It was during a day in which they were having some service projects. So I was in Dublin, and we went to the church building, and there in the cultural hall, there were a lot of tables were set up with different projects, and I tried to, you know, to sit in different tables, and I will spend some minutes in each table. So I went around the room just because I wanted to interact with the sisters and to get to know them. So I went to a table, and then I asked the sisters, so what are we doing here? And they told me, we are making toys for dogs. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised, because most of the projects that they were doing were humanitarian projects. Mm-hmm. You know, the war between Ukraine and Russia had just started a few weeks before, and many of the projects were related to that. But they were also doing things for refugees and all kinds of things that I have seen before, but I had never seen any project in which they were doing toys for dogs. So I just said, okay, and I started working on it. But then a girl that was across the table from me, she was 14 and her name was Rosa. She came around the table And then she said, can I help you with what you need to do? Or can I explain what you need to do? So she explained to me. And then I realized that she was the leader of the project. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her, okay, tell me about this project. And she said, yes, this is something that we are going to donate to a dog shelter. And so we are making these toys for them. And I thought it was so beautiful because she was so excited as she was explaining to me what the project was about. And she also told me that her and the other young women from her ward had been collecting, you know, the material that they needed for them. And they actually made it a project for the whole class. But I think that what impressed me about this experience is the fact that those projects were organized by the Stake Relief Society leaders and, of course, by the World Relief Society leaders also. And the fact that they allowed this girl to do this project, I thought that was beautiful. They didn't tell her, oh, no, that's not a good idea. Why mm-hmm. don't you do something that is for people? You know, they could have said that. Mm-hmm. But they let her be the leader, and they let her actually put the project together. And it was a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. At the end of the morning, Rosa had a huge bag with all the toys that we had made, and she was showing it to everyone, and she was so proud. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that she learned leadership skills, but she also bonded with the sisters mm-hmm. as she was doing that. Not only her, but also the other young women. So I thought that was such a beautiful example that these leaders, you know, told these young women, you come up with a project and we'll have it there.
Yeah.
And they didn't put any conditions or... Which I think is lovely, you know, because I love dogs. It's not that I don't love dogs. I thought it was nice that they were making things for dogs. But like I said before, I had never seen something like that. So that's why it was surprising. But it was also very inspiring.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I'm such a huge dog person. And I think that's really cool that she came up with that.
Yeah. But the leaders led her. Yeah, that's exactly. The most beautiful part of the story.
Right. Also, I like that you mentioned that she bonded with the sisters, because I think that even just by simply saying hi to each other at church, mm-hmm. that could just make a huge difference and make everyone feel more united, too.
Yes. I think that the adults can do a better job sometimes in getting to know the youth and the children and getting to know their names and and care about them, you know, to ask them what is happening in their lives. And that would make such a difference when they turn 18 and they have to come to Elders Quorum and Relief Society. It's not going to be that unknown kingdom that mm-hmm. they are not familiar with, because they have already been doing things. And I also think that the fact that now we can minister with the young women as adult mm-hmm. Relief Society sisters can also be a way for us to start building those bridges with those girls, to get to know them. Mm-hmm. But also to allow them to receive revelation about how we can minister to sisters, so they know that they are entitled, that they can receive revelation from heaven if they want to serve other people.
Yes,
and that can also be a way to help them, so they already have those bonds with the sisters.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to give some other positive examples of unity among different organizations. So you told me that when I was a child, Brother Filippelli was a really great home teacher at the time. Now we call them ministering brothers. But because he was assigned to minister to my parents.
To the family.
Yeah. But he mostly focused on us, the children.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I remember that he will, you know, ask you questions about school and about what you were doing, what you liked. And the following month, when he came with his companion, they will continue the conversation. Then they will ask follow up questions to you. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we just focus on the adults, because those are the names that have been assigned to us supposedly. But really, when we minister, we can minister to the whole family, mm-hmm. and by doing that. You know, when we focus, when we pay attention to the children, the parents feel good. And they realize that we are there sincerely, that we are there to try to help the whole family, to be united in our faith, mm-hmm. because that's what we do. Sometimes we go and visit families and we really feel that we didn't do anything for them except to spend some time. But I think that is so important to just bond mm-hmm. and show people that we care about them, even yeah. if we didn't do anything tangible or specific for them, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, I also just, it was interesting because, I mean, I'm in the Relief Society presidency right now, and we met with the Elders Quorum president. See, I mean, only the president showed up, but I had never done that before, like meeting as a Relief Society presidency and the Elders Quorum presidency. And even just that was, I thought that was really good. And just one of the ideas that my president, Teresa, came up with, which we haven't done yet, but I think it's a great idea and I hope we do it soon. But an idea in our young adult ward was to just like pick a few people to get together and hang out with mm-hmm. every once in a while, just so that we can get to know the new people or just get to know anyone really. Because yeah, I mean, we're in a single adult ward, so like people, we need friends. I mean, so I think that's a great idea.
Yes. If we think about it, and if we go back a few years, you know, when the priesthood quorums were reorganized in a way, mm-hmm. If you think about it, now the Elders Quorum and the Relief Society are in more equal grounds than before. Mm-hmm. And they, I mean, their role has been elevated. And as we know, the bishop is supposed to focus on the things that only him can do. And leaders from the Elders Quorum and Relief Society, they can actually do most of the work of salvation and exaltation, or help the members participate on that. Mm-hmm. And what you did by meeting with the Elders Quorum presidency is one of the, you know, the biggest things that we can do is just to start working together mm-hmm. and realizing that we are all doing the same work. Mm-hmm. We are all trying to bring the children of God to the Savior. Right. We are all trying to help the children of God feel the Spirit and prepare the earth for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's what we are trying to do. And the more we get together, the more we try to look for revelation together, the better yes. we'll be.
Yeah, I'm just going to quote you because I know you won't quote yourself.
Okay.
So in your first talk in General Conference that's called With One Accord, you said, the Holy Ghost gives us a vision that our natural eyes cannot see because revelation is scattered among us. And when we put that revelation together, we can see more. So, yeah, just exactly like you just said. I think just by getting together and counseling, we can receive so much more revelation. And that includes, like, counseling with the members and not just about them.
Yes. I think that sometimes we are good at counseling about members. Mm-hmm. Or about other people, but we are not good at counseling with them. And that's something that we can start doing it. You know, mm-hmm. if we are worried about the sisters not ministering to each other, we can actually ask them in a Relief Society meeting and say, okay, we are worried because we are not ministering. What are the things that are stopping us from doing it? What can we do to do it better? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you'll get a lot of answers and people will commit more instead of us just telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. But I also think, you know, about talking about revelation, that it is such a real and powerful principle to counsel together. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been into all kinds of meetings as a leader, and there have been times in which we are worried about something and we agree to meet and talk about it. And sometimes I don't think about anything when I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me, and the problem looks so big, and then we get together and we start talking, and then the revelation flows, because it really makes a difference when we get together, we offer a prayer, we try to think about things following the Spirit, the revelation comes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't come, and that's okay, mm-hmm. but we can just keep trying, and then we meet again, we go and look for more information maybe, and we come back and we try again, and the revelation comes. And the fact that we also, I think it's important to remember that revelation is a constant thing. The fact that probably 6 months ago we felt a revelation to do something, it doesn't mean that we are not going to receive something different today. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to keep asking.
Yeah, that just reminded me too that I've come to know that you can't really like receive revelation about somebody unless you really know them. Mm. For example, just in my Relief Society, like I need to know the sisters. And we've also kind of asked ourselves the question, like, how can we minister to the brethren better? And I think we can't really know unless we get to know them and also yes. straight up ask them
yes.
what we can do to help. Like, again, we don't want to just counsel about them. Mm-hmm. I think it would be good to counsel with them. So, yeah.
Yes, that applies to everything. Mm-hmm. It applies to ministering also. I have heard, you know, people say, I don't like ministering because they assign me people that I don't know. Well, get to know them.
Yeah.
How do you start getting to know somebody? You start with simple questions. Where are you from? Where did you live before? And then those questions come. You think about something else, or where do you work? And, you know, where did you go to school? And then just keep asking. I mean, you don't have to know the person all at once,
mm-hmm.
but you just keep asking questions to get to know them. And you also talk about yourselves. And that's how we met. How we meet people, how we make friends, how we establish relationships, just by showing up and spending time together and really try to get to know each other.
Right. Not to like elevate myself or anything, I elevate the Savior in saying this, I guess. But so recently I was assigned to like reach out to some new sisters, and somebody gave me like this huge box of cookies. So I was like, I'm just going to share these cookies with these sisters. And so I did, and I still had some cookies. I just randomly was like, I'm gonna take this to one of the houses where there's a few boys that live in this house in my ward. And yeah, I just did that. I went to their house, I gave them cookies, and I had a really nice visit with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, I got to know them a little better. They got to know me, and it was just a fun time. And like, nobody told me to do it, but I just could feel the love that the Savior has for these boys.
Yes.
So
that shows that we need to get out of the box sometimes. Sometimes mm-hmm. we want to be so prescriptive and follow like a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we also need to be open to the promptings that we receive from the Spirit and to just try to do our best and to try to connect with people. And that's what we're trying to do, connect with them so they can connect with God mm-hmm. and with the Savior. Well, I think that also as leaders in the church, we need to remember that we are called to help people, to help everyone in our world. You know, when you go to the General Handbook and you go to any of those chapters, like for example, if I open the chapter for primary, and I look in there at, you know, the responsibilities of the primary president, for example. It says in there, the first thing that it says in there is serve on the World Council. That means that is her first responsibility, to serve in the World Council. So when she goes to the World Council, she's not there just to represent the children, but she's there to help everyone in that council do the work of the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we think that we are only assigned to a specific group of people, but the reality is that if we belong to the World Council, we are being asked to receive revelation and to serve everyone. So if I'm the primary president and they're talking about maybe a young adult who is an elder that is struggling with something, and if I've feel the prompting to say something in the meeting to help him, I mean, it's okay to do it because mm-hmm. we are there to serve the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, sometimes we think that when we are called to certain callings, it's like we are like in a department store, you know,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think the church is like that. We are divided in organizations because there is some order, and of course we need to try to receive revelation to serve the people that are assigned to us. But at the same time, it's not a department store.
Mm-hmm.
It's the church of Jesus Christ, and we are there to serve each other, to help each other, to love each other, and to help people come to the Savior. So let's ask the questions that are always asked at the end of this podcast. So Elena, what does it mean for you to consecrate your life in regards to unity?
I love the example that the Savior gives us, that he was always one with his Father in heaven, and it just kind of reminds me of my mission motto when I served in California. Our motto was, we are one with the Savior in doing the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. And I think we can't really be one with the Savior unless we are united with other people. Like, we need each other in order to be saved and to even feel the love that the Savior has. We need each other in order to feel that. So mm-hmm. I just think it's so important to really, like, gather together and to look for the commonalities instead of, like, the things that make us different. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think it means.
Yes. I think I love that. I think that for me, for some reason, I just thought about the two great commandments. When the Lord was asked what the greatest of all commandments was, and he said that the first one was to love God with all our heart, mind, and strength. And then he said, and the second one is unto itself, to love one another, to love our neighbor, to love other people. And so I think that, again, we are one with the Savior when we really try to live those two commandments, when we really try to love God, and when we really try to love each other. And like you said, I honestly believe that human beings, we have more things in common than differences. Sometimes we focus so much in the differences, like you said. But in reality, we are all struggling. We all have our strengths, and but we also have our weaknesses. And we are all trying to just live life the best way we can. Mm-hmm. And by getting to know each other, when we try to build bridges instead of building walls, when we really try to connect with other people, we realize that we are not alone in our journey. Mm-hmm. And also we can feel the love of God in our heart. And we realize that we are in this life to help each other, and that everybody has something to contribute. Mm-hmm. And we can just try to be one with the Savior like he has asked us to do.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, please post a review to help our podcast be more visible. And as always, if you ever want to get in contact with us, please message us on Instagram @consecratingpod, and we hope to see you next time.